Well, Father, we just we thank you for this wonderful evening, Lord, that we're going to have with you and your brothers and your sisters. And Lord, we just ask and we pray that you would be with us, you'd be directing us, and that you would anoint us, that you would fill us up mightily with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would lead us and direct us and guide us, Lord. We need that, Lord, in the days ahead. We're going to need it now, Lord, to lead us and guide us and show us what you'd have us to do. And, Father, we thank you that tonight's going to be a blessed night because you're going to bless this fellowship. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'm going to ask that everybody mute their phones while we, unless you're talking, of course. Okay, I'll get you, Wade. Thank you. Okay, does anybody need prayer? Is that you, Tim, I'm hearing, or are you muted? Okay.
No, I'm muted.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pray. How's that? Lord, I lift up my grandson, Blake, to you, Lord. You're doing a work there, Lord. All he wants to talk about is you, and that's great. That is awesome, Lord. You're doing a mighty work in that young man. I know that he doesn't have anything to look at but them four walls and the Word of God. But, Lord, we thank you that you've given him that and you've allowed him to get that, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in him. And I know that he's only going to be incarcerated as long as you want him incarcerated. I remember the story about Peter, you know, how you walked him out of jail when the time came. And Father, I know that if that has to be done, that you can do that as well. And Father, we thank you so much for the work you're doing in that young man. And I look forward, Lord, to seeing him again over here or wherever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I lift up Stephen Borshop to you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in him. I ask, Lord, that you be with him, send your angels round about him, Lord, to minister to him and to bless him, Lord, with rest. That rest would be in you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do that. And you're doing it now, even as we speak, Father, and that you're giving him great revelations in your word, Lord, that he can share when the time comes, when you let him out, Lord. And I thank you for the work you're doing in Stephen Borshop, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay, anybody else need some prayer or would like to pray?
Michael?
Yes, Missy?
I have a nephew that his name is Brett, and he's 24. And while I was at my parents' last week, we found out that he got kicked out of his apartment, and my sister had told me that him and his girlfriend in December had a baby boy, and he has another daughter. I think she's like 6 now or something, 6 or 7. But anyway, my mom apparently talked to the landlord's sister that takes care of the properties and stuff, and she found out some more information. I don't know exactly what she said. She'd tell me if I called her, you know. But she said he's gotten into some trouble, and it apparently seems that his he has a problem with anger and stuff. And he also, without going into details, doesn't want to talk to my my sister, his mother. He has some anger about some things, unforgiveness and stuff. And I think that when he was, I'm not sure how old he was, but I think if I remember correctly, he supposedly accepted the Lord when he was a child. But anyway, I'd like to pray for him, not quite sure how, but anyway, but and if anything comes to you all to pray or whatever, that would be great too. But Father, I just lift up Brett, Lord. You know where he's at. We're not sure where he's at, where he's living now or anything. And Lord, you know the trouble that he's gotten into, Lord. And we just ask you for your mercy and grace, to just visit him and speak to him and let him know, Lord, that you're there for him. And if he will just turn to you, Lord, and seek you, we just bind up spirits of rejection and anger and Brett in the name of Jesus. We command those spirits to just be still, and you have no authority over him in Jesus' name. And Father, just drawing back to yourself and bringing him out of the pit that he's in right now, Lord. And we ask for your mercy and grace upon him in the situation that he's in, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to restore the relationship between my sister and him, Lord, and that they both be forgiving of one another. And if there's any unforgiveness there on my sister's side, let show it to her, Lord. I didn't really see anything like that when I was there, but Lord, you know, sometimes it's not always apparent. So we just ask you to move and intervene in this situation in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Father, we just lift up Brett to you, Lord. And I don't know, sometimes, Lord, you have to take you take people to a level where they would look up to you, Lord. And that may be what you're doing here. But if it is, Lord, we ask that you do it in a mighty quick way, that you take Brett to that place of where he'll cry out to you, Father, and put the fear of God all over him. Drape him in the fear of God, Lord. And let him, and Lord, just place a want to in him to want to know the truth of the gospel, and allow his ears to be opened and his eyes to see, Lord, spiritually speaking, the truth that you have for him in the Word of God. And Father, we thank you for the work that you're going to do in this young man, another young man that's seemingly going the way of the world, Lord. But we know, because we pray and we believe when we pray, that it's going to happen, Lord, that you're going to do something with this young man. And we thank you for it. Now, he's going to be a testimony, Father, to your grace and your mercy upon his life in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Grant him repentance and draw him closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Well, y'all believe with me. I'm going to pray for a college over here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you've given us authority on this earth over all the power of the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, right now, I come against the principalities, powers, and the princes in the air that are ruling over that college, Hawassi. And Father, I thank you that we have the authority over them. And in the name of Jesus, I bind up your works and cast you off that campus right now. In Jesus' name, I cast off the spirit of Jezebel. I cast off the spirit of witchcraft. I cast off the spirit of apathy in the Christian walk. In Jesus' name, I cast off all the enemies that's hindering the walk of that faculty and the students in that campus, on that campus. And Father, we thank you that you're cleaning house right now, even as we speak, because we have prayed this prayer of faith, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that we're hooking our faith up with the people in the fellowship tonight, and also with the men that are working over at Hawassi now from our local. And Father, we thank you that we're going to see a mighty change over there because of our prayers. Praise you, Father, for cleansing the air over there in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? All right, we got any testimonies or any praise reports?
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'm gonna share this. Basically, I came up to Ohio, and the Lord told me that I needed to come up here and deal with this situation. And it's really been it's been a time of amazement, and it's been a time of dying out, and it's been an awesome time for my son, an awesome time with Brandy. And so we got up here, and we just walked into just a total rat's nest. And, you know, it was a situation where, I mean, I don't know, this house has never been clean. Nothing has been done in this house for like over 3 years. And, I mean, there's just, you know, just food on the walls and holes in the walls pet urine saturated all the carpeting, and all the floors are stained with pet urine, and the place smells like a sewer, and you know, just broken windows and broken doors, and all the blinds are trashed, and I mean, it's just, I mean, ceilings falling in, and I mean, it was just everything we got into was just, it's just been crazy. And we got to a place where it was like, man, we need some help here, because there's just everything we got into was just, you know, it just wasn't, you know, wasn't working out. And I mean, it was just, everything was just turning into, you know, just more work. And I knew that part of the ceiling came, you know, fell in, and I opened up the ceiling, and this thing has been leaking for, I mean, all the wood is rotted. I mean, it's been leaking for a long time, and I was never informed. I mean, it was just, you know, it's just amazing how rotted everything was. So we're, you know, we're replacing boards and stuff like that. And so I'm just trying to stay in the rest, and, you know, I've been, you know, doing a good job with that. I've been loving on my brother who is staying here, but speaking, you know, just speaking boldly with him, speaking truth, speaking Lord, speaking responsibility, stuff like that, you know. And I had a situation today where, you know, because his wife was kind of avoiding me. I felt like she was upset with me because I asked him to move out, and she was just kind of avoiding me. So I was able to have a talk with her, and she just broke today. It was pretty crazy, and I was able to comfort her and, you know, just get her eyes on the, you know, the situation, and you know, it's just, you know, I mean, it was pretty awesome, because she's getting persecuted by her parents of, you know, why she's staying with this guy and stuff like this. And, you know, she's staying with him because she loves him, and, you know, it's, and, you know, she knows that that's, you know, God put him in her life, you know. So I was able to encourage her and have a, you know, conversation with her today, and, you know, which was pretty cool. And, you know, so some of the things that have been happening was, is that, you know, the Lord told me when I came up here, I knew I had to deal with this, and I knew it was going to be, you know, a lot of work. And we've been getting here 8, 9 o'clock in the morning, and we've been working till, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night, basically going back, crashing. And as soon as we get up, you know, we go get a coffee and drive back in and get back to work. And it's been pretty grueling, but everybody's got a great attitude, and, you know, we're just taking it, you know, we're just working to the Lord, you know, in this whole situation. But Brandy came to me yesterday and said, you know, we need to find somebody that can clean, because, you know, we got so much construction here that we need to find somebody that can help us clean, because everything, I mean, the floors have never been clean. Nothing's been done, you know. Everything is just filthy, dirty. And, I mean, I just spilled a pop, and I went to wipe it up, and the rag just comes up black, you know. And I just wipe up a little spot. It's just craziness. But anyway, so he says, we need to find somebody that can help us clean. And these kids show up from the apartment building next door, and I mean, just lovable kids. I mean, they're like 5, 6 years old, brother and sister, and they're, you know, they just got an awesome personality, and we've just been having a great time with them. And I put them to work pulling staples out of the floor and stuff like that. And I mean, they just, you know, they've been picking up trash and hauling stuff. And I mean, they're just little kids, but they just want to help, you know? So we're just having fun with him. And so I start talking to the young boy, and he was pulling staples in the floor, and his sister closed the door, and we had the doorknobs off, and he was locked in there, you know, didn't know how to get out. I mean, he's just bawling and crying. So I ended up, I got him out of the room, and, you know, I was hugging on him and just loving on him and praying over him and stuff. You know, so I was able to talk to him, and I find out that his, you know, his dad, you know, left his mom, I don't know, a couple of years ago, and, you know, he really doesn't see him, and, you know, he was bonded to his grandfather, and his grandfather just died, and, you know, he just lost his grandfather, and, you know, so I was able to, and I found out he had, like, 8 ear surgeries, you know, and the kid talks a little funny, because I guess he had an issue hearing, and I said, can I pray for you, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, and he was, like, all excited, and we're praying, and I'm talking to him about Jesus, and I mean, it was just an awesome time. So I says, hey, what, you know, what's your mom do? He says, well, right now she's not working. I said, what does she do? And he says, she cleans houses. I said, really? I said, I need a house cleaner, you know? So she came over. I mean, she was all excited and, you know, and, I mean, the Lord just blessed us with that. And, you know, it was just like, you know, we're just seeing answered prayers. But in the last 2 days, I had a situation where, you know, I had one contractor come out to look at the property, give me a bid on something, and he's interested in buying it. I had another contractor come out, and he knows somebody else that invests in property that's looking for a property on the west side. I had a buddy of mine that I needed a ladder to get up on the roof, so I called a contractor I knew, and he said, well, just, you know, I said, I just, you know, need to borrow a ladder, and I said, I tell you what, I'll buy you lunch. He said, that's great. He came over today to take me to lunch, and he, you know, I'm working upstairs, and he's looking around the house, and I come downstairs, and there's some guy standing in the kitchen. And I said, can I help you? And he says, yeah, you Conway? And I said, yeah. And he said, I've been looking at this property for years, and I see there's a sign out front. He said, I got a little business. I'm, you know, this would be a perfect property for me. Are you interested in selling it? And so then I go to lunch with this contractor. He says, hey, what do you want for that property? He said, that's a beautiful house. You know, he says, it needs to be cleaned up, but that's a gorgeous house. And he's telling me he would like to buy it. So in the last 2 days, the Lord has put four people into, you know, this situation. And this is after the realtor that, you know, the Lord told me to hire said that he would finance this other guy. So it's like, all these situations are just coming about, and it's just been a total blessing. You know, we came down here, we were going to stay in a hotel. My sister turns out that she's out of town this week, and she's letting her, you know, use her house, you know, free of charge, so we don't, you know, didn't have to get a hotel or anything like that. We thought we were going to stay in this house, but it was so nasty, we couldn't even stay here. So, you know, we're just seeing... I mean, literally, I had a situation where we had so much garbage. I had a landscaper that, you know, used to keep some equipment there. I said, hey, you know anybody's got a dump truck? And he says, yeah, I got a buddy of mine. He called his buddy up, and we took 3 dump truck loads of garbage out of this place, and then we still have garbage left over. I mean, we could probably fill up 4 more as far as with the garbage we've got around here. And so it's just, I mean, the Lord has just been providing, and, you know, just, we're just seeing miracles. I mean, we're just, just getting stuff, you know, we just, everything we get into, and we just been knocking it out and coming together. So I've got a meeting set up Saturday, and we got to have this thing finished. And, you know, the Lord's just been providing, and we're just, it just seems like, you know, once we get into things, we're just going quicker than they, you know, they should. And, you know, so I, you know, I believe we're going to have everything done by Saturday. So, but that's kind of what's going on here. And I asked Michael, I says, man, we're buried. We, you know, we're going to be working Friday at 11 o'clock tonight. And, you know, can you handle the conference for me? And he was gracious enough to do that. So we've just been, you know, living on pizza and, you know, just wings and, you know, just kind of working. And that's, you know, that's what we've been doing. So that's just my report from Ohio, just how awesome, you know, our Father is, and just everything that's going on, and, the, you know, just the answered prayers and the blessings and stuff like that that's been coming out of it. So I thought I'd just share that, and I'm going to be going back to work and just kind of listening in. So I love you guys, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, let's pray for you first, Tim. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, we thank you for blessing these men while they're up there working, Lord. We thank you that you're going to get work done like they never thought would get done. And Father, we thank you that everything that needs to be done will be finished in Jesus' name, because Lord, you're the one that's guiding, you're the one that's leading. And we thank you, Lord, for giving Tim wisdom and understanding into knowing who to choose to buy the house, Lord. And we just praise you, Father, that this is all going to turn out to be a great blessing for Tim and Trish and Brandy and Luke, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bring them back home.
Amen.
Safely, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Michael. All right. Bye.
All right. Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report or need prayer?
Hey, Michael, this is Aaron.
Hey, Aaron.
How are you doing?
Brother, I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams.
Amen.
I am.
Me too, brother. Me too.
Amen.
I just have a praise report here. The Lord's just been really awesome. Last night, I was making a quesadilla, and you know, I put like beans and cheese in it and everything, and I took it off the I took it out of the pan, and I flipped it over onto my plate, and part of the stuff on the inside just fell out of there, like and fell on a part of my hand, on my left hand, and burned my hand pretty good. Well, I felt that there were two spots on my hand where I really felt the pain from the burn, and I was just like, you know, Lord. Oh, actually, it's funny. The Lord actually brought this to my remembrance. The Lord brought to my remembrance about what the Lord did with you, Michael, with the wasps, with the red wasps. And I was like, okay, Lord, I'm gonna believe that this pain in my hand, there's gonna be no blistering, there's gonna be no burn, there's gonna be no signs of, there's gonna be nothing. In Jesus' name, and I prayed over it. I just said, thank you, Lord, for having there be no pain or anything, and I'm just believing you. And then, you know, and then I kind of felt like there were some darts of unbelief and, you know, and doubt and stuff coming at me. But then just, I was just like, the Lord just kind of had me think about the fact that, okay, it's already been done at the cross. And what can penetrate through this, you know, if it's been done at the cross, and what can penetrate through that? And I just started to thank the Lord of what he's already done. And I just really felt a lot of grace and peace and didn't even think about it after that. And I completely forgot about it until you were asking people for praise reports and stuff. And so I was just like, wow, Lord, you really did. You really just did a miracle there. Like, there's nothing. There's no sign at all that I got burned on my hand. I mean, and it was hot too. It hurt. another praise report. The Lord, this was interesting. The Lord's just been really teaching me about abiding in his Spirit, you know, learning just to abide in him. You know, if you abide in the Son, you know, you have the Father also, and just learning to abide in him, because that's where we're just, everything, all the benefits come from, all the benefits of his promises, you know, just all, you know, faith, grace, peace, all of it just comes from abiding in him. Well, I think it was about a couple of weeks ago, I was just having some more attacks of allergies, and hadn't had them come up there was a time I shared on the conference call, maybe about a couple of years ago, where the Lord really did a miraculous deliverance of allergies. Like, I was cutting some grass. I was doing some yard work, and I was taking, you know, like all this cut grass and putting it in a wheelbarrow and burrowing it over, and I didn't sneeze once or have my eyes act up or anything like that. It was just a miracle. That's never happened before. Well, then the symptoms started to come back, you know, and the devil was trying to convince me, you know, that, you know, maybe they're back for a reason, because I wasn't, you know, maybe I'm missing the Lord in this way or that way, and, you know, this and that. So, there'd be times where I'd sneeze like 20 times in a row. I mean, it was persistent. And it would happen, you know, every time I'd go outside, I'd feel, you know, the tickling in my nose, and I'd start sneezing, and I just couldn't stop. And, well, I remember going to pick my daughter up for the last day of school, and it was really cool because the Lord was teaching me this aspect about not thinking about all these, you know, not thinking about how I'm going to endure through the trial, and thinking about how I'm going to endure in my faith, and you know, all that. But the Lord was teaching me about abiding in Him, and that how it's already been accomplished, and that by just seeking the Lord's heart, you know, seeking His righteousness and His kingdom first, that all the benefits will be added unto me. So He was teaching me about just really looking at Him, not thinking about how I can stand in this trial and about what I need to do to stand, and about even all the wisdom that the Lord's given, and knowledge that He's given. It's like me trying to put that to, you know, trying to put that to use, but the Lord teaching me to allow His Spirit to take over me, you know, take over my being, take over, and that the Lord will use the deposits of truth and grace and everything that He's put inside of this temple for His purpose, like that it'd be by the Spirit, you know, led by the Spirit. So I was doing that, and I was just putting out of my mind by His grace, you know, all the, just anything that I would, you know, any anxieties or cares or anything that was trying to come upon my mind, and even about, oh, do I need to get in the Word right now, or, oh, do I need to get into prayer? Like, the Lord is just teaching me about simply looking at Him. And then I started to experience the allergic symptoms they started to decrease, and then eventually I was on the bus, and I wasn't sneezing at all, and I had so much peace come over me. And I was thanking the Lord, like the Lord's been teaching me about Thanksgiving, you know, giving Him thanks and praising Him for what He's done, and just really giving Him thanks for just even the things that seem very simple, you know, just for being who He is. And as I was doing that, I really felt an increase of faith and grace, and I felt the Lord taking over. And I just give Him the glory for that. And then the symptoms came back, you know, that I think it was a few days ago, and then the same thing, the Lord just told me to give Him thanks, and I did, you know, that's what I felt like, just thank you, Lord, thank you for doing this, and from the heart, too, you know. And then, you know, the allergic symptoms haven't came back ever since. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, and, you know, I was thinking about it, Tim was requesting for me to, he wanted me to share something about stuff that the Lord showed me with music, and I was thinking about it, and I was kind of reluctant because the Lord's had me in a healing process recently. The Lord's really been doing a humbling work in me, and I've been just really desiring not to, you know, just really let my words be few. I've been learning just to not, you know, just wanting to be led by the Spirit in all of my words and actions and everything. And in the past, you know, it's been like a triggered reaction for me to jump in when I felt obligation, you know, like, like something even, you know, if it was an act that seemed even right, you know, like just self-works, you know. The Lord just been really teaching me about just letting him be God and just putting down my hands, you know, and, well, I guess in a way raising my hands to the Lord and letting him be God and reign over my life. Well, I really felt peace about sharing, and it just kind of came at the last moment. So Tim was telling me how there was this thing brought up on one of the conference calls about there were some people that were curious about some Christian artists, and you know, the Lord is, I can just praise the Lord for giving me some insight into some of this, because I mean I was, you know, even before coming to the Lord, I was very, just, music was my life. I listened to everything you could think of, really. And the Lord's done a great purging work from a lot of secular music. And, you know, the Lord even gave a vision to me at a time where I was, you know, just coming into the kingdom. And at the same time, I was still playing, you know, I just praise the Lord, you know. He's given music to me to play on the guitar and sing and stuff. And so the Lord had me in a transition period where I was getting off, you know, listening to the secular music and listening to music that praised Him. Well, I mean, the Lord even gave me a vision of it, you know, showing me how. And that was like my first. I feel like that was really the Lord's first nugget of truth about music at that point, that really started to establish more of a foundation of how much music can affect the soul, you know, through spiritual, it's like a spiritual navigation, you know, like a person that produces a song, you know, it's basically like the scripture that says where a person's heart is there, you know, where a person's heart is, there is their treasure also, you know, and out of the heart can come, you know, out of the heart can come good treasures or evil treasures. Well, you know, secular music definitely is one of those evil treasures, and it can be very masked at times, seeming to be right. Well, what I'm trying to say is that I remember one point the Lord showed me. I remember I was just getting into David Hill's teachings at this time. I mean, I was really just on fire for the Lord, and I was really just, there was so much truth that the Lord was pouring into my heart. And, you know, David was making, I remember some teachings where David was really making these, just really pouring it out there about not listening to emotions, and about how, you know, there's a scripture that says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice, you know, and there's the word always in there. Well, the Lord started showing me about what the difference was, you know, giving me discernment about, okay, well, these thoughts aren't from the Lord. These emotions aren't from the Lord. This is from the Lord. The Lord wants me to be joyful at all times. And some of the music I was listening to is actually, bringing about the opposite effect of joy, you know, like some songs would bring about sadness and sorrow. And I remember the Lord gave me this, vision right after I listened to this. I mean, I remember, like, before I listened to this secular song, I was just rejoicing in the Lord. I mean, I had so much joy and peace, and the Lord was showing me, like, these are my benefits for you. Joy, peace, you know, the love of my spirit, my presence. And so really what secular music can do is really taint the promises of God, and it's like, you know, cover up, you know, it really can bring a lot of, and not just secular music, the Lord's, just something the Lord's going to have me get into here is about even some of these, you know, there's a lot of quote-unquote Christian artists that are not very, they're not very spiritual-minded. There's just there's a lot of leaven in there. And, well, with this vision the Lord gave me, I saw an old man standing, like kind of leaning his back up against a tree, standing up and playing my guitar. And I have like a black Ibanez acoustic, and this, you know, he was playing the same guitar that I had. And I saw this fruit on this tree, and you know, after a few seconds he got done playing, and all this fruit, multiple pieces of fruit on this tree fell to the ground all at once. And there were a bunch of children, like young children, that ran up really fast and grabbed all this fruit and ran off really fast out of where I couldn't see them anymore. And the Lord showed me, I mean, this is right after I listened to a song that, I mean, like I said, I had the grease, I just had so much peace and joy from the Lord. And after listening to this song, I noticed a change spiritually. I noticed that all of a sudden I felt sad and depressed. I started to feel familiar anxieties coming back into my mind at that time, that the Lord was showing me that those were not of the Lord's will. And that was part of the Lord's covenant promise of deliverance. So I felt, I just felt this sadness. And then the Lord gave me that vision. And then I realized the Lord showed me that this was the old man. And that there were songs at that time that the Lord was allowing me to write. I mean, I was playing music, and it's like some of my lyrics were like kind of, there was a mixture in there because I was still listening to this stuff. So some of it would, you know, it's like it would be, I guess, about the Lord, but then there would be some worldly stuff in there that seemed like it was about the Lord. So anyway, the Lord showed me that vision. I got convicted, and then that, from that point on, I got rid of all of my secular stuff, because the Lord was showing me the danger of opening myself, being an open inlet for those spirits to come in, and also that just because I'm listening to that music, it was going to affect. There is going to be fruit from that, that others, you know, it was going to affect others. And so I became very convicted of that, and I got rid of all of my stuff. And so I just went on listening to, you know, I got into music that praised and worshiped the Lord. Well, there is sometime down the road when the Lord started to really, you know, reveal more, just more corruption in the church and how subtle it is. There was a point where I was experiencing like an overwhelming amount of warfare in my walk, to the point where, it had me broken and just bruised. And like, there were times where I felt like I could not get back up, but I would, you know, by the grace of God, all I could do was call out to him. And that's the only way I could get back up, is calling out to him. Well, I remember, you know, the Lord would speak things in my spirit at times. And I remember at one point, I heard the word mysticism in my spirit, and I told my brother Chad about it, and he said, you know, he said, because I told him about it, and he, you know, we prayed about it, and he said he felt like the Lord was telling him that had to do with some artists that I was listening to, and I started to wonder about that. And it's, you know, mysticism's like a New Age sort of thing. I can't remember exactly the in-depth definition of it, because I haven't looked into that for a while. But I can tell you it's not something you want. Maybe if there's somebody on the call that could, you know, staple on some more information, that'd be great. But it's like a New Age sort of, it's a New Age thing. So I was hearing that, and then there was one morning where I was trying to get up. I remember I was trying to get up and pray to the Lord, but I felt so much heaviness and warring on my soul and the spirit, and I just like, Lord, what is this? And the Lord told me in my spirit that it had to do with some of the music I was listening to. And at this time, you know, I'm only listening to Christian music, you know, like that's all. And I was like, really, Lord? And so I started going through, a lot of artists that I had on my computer at the time, or actually on the computer of the person I was staying with at the time. And I was listening to some of this stuff, and I just put it all down for a while. And actually, I remember putting it down, seeking the Lord about it. And there were a few times, I mean, the Lord started showing me this difference between quote-unquote Christian music that quote-unquote praises him, compared to music that truly is coming from his throne, that really came down, you know, that really came from him. And I remember, like, getting back and listening to a few groups, and the Lord showed me a key factor. Like, I would look for the anointing in songs. The Lord showed me, you know, it's to really you know, to really seek him about, you know, whether a song has his presence and anointing on it compared to a song that just touches your emotions. And it seems to have an effect of his presence. The Lord was showing me the difference there. And I remember listening to some songs, and I would feel his presence on them. And then there were some songs that all of a sudden I would feel this agitation in the spirit come over me, and I'd feel this uncomfortable. I just start to feel really uncomfortable and like just wouldn't feel right, you know, just it felt empty. And I wasn't, my mind wasn't all of a sudden, you know, wanting, you know, my mind wasn't like really inclining to the Lord. It was inclining to the, you know, it's just like it was distracting my heart from really, really praising the Lord in the worship. And so I put away a lot of, you know, I just stopped listening for a while. And then a lot of it too, I just started losing the desires to listen to some of these Christian songs that I heard time and time again. And I was wondering about that. I was like, Lord, why am I losing my desires to listen to a lot of, you know, a lot of this godly music like that praises you? Like, what's wrong here? Is there something wrong with me? I started to battle with condemnation over that. Like, it's, you know, and I kept thinking, no, I just need to press in and listen to it. And I just need to really press in, you know, because these are attacks of the enemy. Well, what happened was eventually I lost my desire. Then the Lord started revealing to me some things about some Christian artists, and about, at this time, the Lord was showing me about Soul Ties and about the just how the enemy can use Soul Ties to cause oppression, and really about fellowship. That fellowship and having fellowship, it has more facets to it than you know just sitting down and talking to somebody or you know fellowshipping in the Word. There's a lot of different facets. The Lord was showing me. You can have fellowship with, you know, in the music as well. And that really there is a form of fellowship going on. So, you know, fellowship, it's just having, you know, just sharing what's in common. And so if you think about that, you think about, okay, if there's an artist that's out, you know, if there are artists that are, you know, maybe, you know, that maybe are involved in a church or involved in, you know, in a, just in something that's not the Lord, like as in, you know, there basically there was some artists that the Lord revealed, you know, the Lord actually told me through Chad, or the Lord showed, had Chad, you know, tell me that one of the artists that I named off to him was involved in one of the false prophetic movements. Actually, there are a couple of them, and I actually experienced when I would listen to some of these, when I would listen to a few of those artists, I kind of like put it before the Lord, and I would just put the song on, and I click it off, and I would try to like just sit there before the Lord and just see what the difference was in the atmosphere. And sure enough, I would turn a few of these artists on, and I would start to feel like these, like this uncomfortability, you know, and just kind of like these tremors even. Almost at times, and I'm like, that's just, there's something wrong with that, and I turn it off, and then I would feel the presence of the Lord fill the room, and I'm like, so Lord, I'm turning the Christian music off, and all of a sudden I'm feeling a great presence of your Spirit, and I'm like, there's something wrong with that, you know, your presence should be there even more by turning the music on, or I should say your presence should be there, just, you know, or should stay there when I turn the music on, but it wasn't. So anyway, I can't remember exactly what artists these were. You know, I could maybe like send him an email of a few of the artists and stuff, the ones that were involved in the false prophetic movements. But the thing is that the Lord showed me that there was a Kundalini spirit that was, that Kundalini spirit could be imparted through music, because they're infected with, you know, some of these artists or these artists that were involved in any of those false prophetic movements are infected with the spirit. Thus, that spirit can be produced through the music because it's a form of fellowship. So, and you know, it can come through a soul tie that is established. So anyway, I started, after I realized this and found this out, because when I broke ties with a few of these artists, I felt better. Like, I felt like some deliverance. I felt a difference in my spiritual walk as far as the presence of the Lord, as far as getting into the Word, the desires of the Word were coming back into my heart. I started losing a lot of desires of the word at times when I was just indulging in this music continually. Even at times I would just have it just going all the time. And a lot, some of these, so I was shocked actually, to be honest, when I found out that, I mean, some of these songs seem so sincere. They seem like they really came from the Lord, but there is an ulterior motive behind the artist, because there were spirits there. So, like, you know, because we judge the spirits, you know, we don't look at the person's flesh. We judge the spirits that are there. And so the Lord was showing me this whole new spectrum of that. And so I remember looking at some artists, looking them up, you know, and seeing where their hearts were with the Lord and where they were spiritually. And I didn't really find any. I remember one specific artist, looking specifically at the artist Carrie Job, and what I found was that she was a assistant pastor and a worship leader at Bethel Church or something like that. I can't remember a lot of the details, but, and she went to like this huge college or whatever, and I somewhere in Texas, it's like one of the biggest ones, and I was just like, okay, I'm not sure about this music then, and I just was like, but Lord, it seems so from you, so I remember cutting ties with her, and I remember hearing, as I did that, I remember seeing some demonic spirits leave my body, and I remember hearing some names of spirits to cast out of me, and one of those spirits, and I never heard this until this time, the Lord told me to cast out a workaholic spirit, and when I did that, I felt something leave, and I felt, at this time in my life, the Lord was really, really revealing a lot of self-works, and the Lord was even showing me how the demonic spirits were using some of this quote-unquote Christian music to bring strongholds of that, you know, and to feed that, and so at this point, I started to experience some differences in my walk, and, you know, it's not just her. I looked up several other artists, and I was just blown away. Like, a lot of the artists were not giving glory to the Lord. They were just talking about themselves. They were talking about their tour and about, you know, like, their bandmates. And just, there was an interview that I read where they didn't say one thing about giving the glory to the Lord. And I'm like, Lord, there's something wrong with that. Like, and the thing is, I remember hearing, I didn't hear about the whole Carrie Job thing, you know, about Tom Kruger's testimony until much later, after I really abstained and pushed away from all that. And then I started listening to her again. And something the Lord showed me was, because once again, I started losing my desire. I went back to listening to some of the music that I listened to before, but there was still a lot that was cut out that I just put aside, you know, because I really didn't, for instance, Chris Tomlin, I used to listen to him, and the first time the Lord put a red flag up for me about him was when I heard from a buddy how he wanted to go see a Chris Tomlin concert, and he wanted me to go with him, and he said, he's like, you know, I can't believe it. He's like, the front row seats are $1,000 a piece. And I was like, what? I was like, really? And I'm like, Lord, that's, doesn't feel right to me. That does not seem right. Like $1,000 to hear, you know, that was a red flag, you know? So it showed me that there was a spirit of merchandising there. There was not a sincere heart towards the Lord. It was all about the money. And then I started to notice that when I would listen to his songs, I would feel like a spirit of agitation, and like, I wouldn't feel peace. I wouldn't feel edified. I would feel torment, to a degree that was unseen until the Lord really showed me, and that it was actually causing warfare. Well, I stopped listening to him. I remember when I broke his CD, I felt something leave my apartment. I felt the spirit leave my apartment, actually, after I broke his CD and got rid of it. So I put aside some of those that seemed really obvious, and I started listening to all this, you know, I started to listen to, like, Mercy Me and, you know, just some of these other bands. And then the Lord, and then I started to slowly lose my desires again to listening to some of these other songs, these other artists. And I'm just like, Lord, why is this happening? And I started to wonder about him, you know, started to wonder about it because I was thinking, like, well, Lord, you know, just like, well, Lord, I'm like thinking like, well, I remember this seems all too familiar, Lord. I remember like losing my desires listening to those bands before, and look what you showed me. And the Lord showed me some pretty major stuff. Pretty major stuff. And it really shocked me even once more. I remember at that point when I was listening to all those bands again, I remember buying some CDs and all that and listening to them. Well, I remember like fellowshipping with Chad one day, and my daughter was over there with him in Charity, and my daughter was, you know, just being a sweetheart and wanting to she wanted to help organize their CDs, you know, and she's like pulling their CDs out, and they're like, oh, it's fine, let her do it, fine. She wanted to dust them individually and put them back in there. And the Lord brought across to Chad that he had a couple of CDs that he thought he got rid of, and there was a Hillsong United CD that he had, and he was just like, oh, wow, I thought we got rid of this a while ago. And he just kind of threw it over to this part of the room, and he said, well, we're checking that, you know. And there was another CD, and I can't remember what it was, and he said, yeah, you know. He said something about, yeah, you know, I did some research, and there's actually some artists that have been intertwined in there, into that band that are in the Illuminati, or the, you know, just the powers that be have put in there. And there's a lot of Illuminati symbolism. And that just, I was thinking about that because I kind of was listening to them again too. And I was just like, really? Huh? And, you know, the Lord's really given Chad a gift of knowledge there, and just leading him in research and coming across the right links on the internet, and, you know, one link leading to the next link to the next. And the Lord's given him some really good insight there on a lot of stuff. The Lord's actually used him a lot to plant a lot of good seeds about all that stuff, about a lot of that was just one example right there. It's just another example. Well, I started to do a little research myself, and I started to see a lot of Illuminati symbolism in their band, and in like some of the symbolism on the stage, you know, and like, and I at times I kept hearing in my spirit, I kept hearing stagecraft. I'm just like, what is that, Lord? And the Lord was showing me there's, you know, it's like, you know, stagecraft. They're using, you know, I mean, you got these huge venues. I mean, huge venues. They're making a lot of money producing this stuff. And, you know, they're using the flashing lights, the colors. They're using, and a lot of the times they have these subliminal messages mixed in with a lot of the stuff, all the colors and the bright lights and all the, you know, all this stuff on stage. They're having a lot of this mixed in there, you know, that's really hidden from, you know, from the naked eye and all that, unless you have the eyes of the spirit. And so I started to see a lot of this. And then I remember at one point I started to lose my desires for listening to Matt Redman. And, you know, I've been really blessed in the past by a lot of his stuff, but I started losing my desires. And then I started questioning that too. And I remember I heard in my spirit, I heard competitive spirit. And I'm like, Lord, are you talking about Matt Redman? And the Lord told me to look some of his stuff up, and I did. And I came to find out that Matt Redman, along with a lot of huge name artists, are involved in this huge this huge movement called the Passion Conferences. I mean, huge. I mean, this place hits, these conferences hit, you know, all over, you know, all over the United States and all that. At least the influences hit, you know, all over the U.S. But I believe like the physical places they've had these conferences in, it was in several states, and hit a lot of people. Well, these passion conferences are very deceptive because they incorporate a lot of leaven in there. I mean, they're centered around this thing called centering and contemplative prayer that has to do with this whole, I mean, it's derived from Catholicism, and actually Catholicism received received its integration from the pagans. And so you got something in there that, you know, and of course they call it Lectia Divina, which, you know, it's basically they're trying to justify it. And that's basically another word for like worship, you know, worshiping the Lord. Anyway, what the Lord showed me about reading up on these passion conferences, is that what they're doing is they're taking all these huge name artists and they're putting them in one place, in one conference. What they're doing is they're trying to raise money for social justice causes, which is basically just, you know, you read between the lines there, and it's basically just integrating more money into the beast. So really, their money isn't going towards the kingdom or the Lord. Their money is going towards the beast. And it's just another way for the beast to make money, you know, using this religious movement. Another aspect about it is that they had people in the conference of 2012. They had Catholics. They had people from, they had like, was it Catholics and people from like the several different denominations, and I can't remember exactly which ones. I need to go back and research some more on that, but the names aren't coming to my mind right away. And they also had like the Arab, you know, people that were, you know, that are into like the Arab religion come in there as well. I mean, they were totally merging all these different, trying to merge all these different quote-unquote faiths together, you know, to unify them, you know, praise to the Lord. So what we're talking about here is we're talking about a setup for the march through music. We're talking about the one world religion, them using music and these huge names that people trust, names that, you know, a lot of these artists give a smile and a, you know, use the scripture and all that, but they're actually, there's a lot of darkness there. We're talking about the Lord, we're talking about the beast coming, this is part of the uniting of the beast here, integrating, and I mean, these movements are huge, you know, part of the one world religion forming here. So, there's spirits that are being imparted to these people as they go to these conferences, and really, when their minds are saturated with the tones and the melodies and the beautiful flowing sounds, they're actually being desensitized to what's going on in the spirit, because that's what Christian, quote unquote Christian music that's, you know, that has leaven in it, that's actually not coming from the Lord, you know. Okay, there's something the Lord did show me about this, you know, because with Carrie Jobe, the Lord showed me, you know, I stopped listening to her. The Lord showed me, okay, well, that song, that Revelation song, did come from me. But just like the Word of God came from him, men can corrupt and pollute the Word of God by their religion and by their reasonings and by their, you know, their doctrines. Just like Christian artists can corrupt a song by their manner of life. Same thing, you know. It's just another way for the Word of God and the Gospel to get produced and to get proclaimed, and it's the same exact principle. There's a corrupt, you know. At the same time, there's a lot of dynamics to this because I feel like at the same time, it's like the Lord's had a lot of mercy on, you know, on a lot of these churches and all that, and even giving music. And I feel like it's also part of a trial for a lot of these churches, too, to see what they're going to do with it, how they're going to treat it. You know, are they going to use it for good or are they going to use it for evil? And I believe a lot of them have been seduced by seducing spirits and demons, you know, doctrines of demons. And some of these artists could have, you know, I know from what it looked like, I mean, a lot of these artists started out right. You know, they wanted to serve and please the Lord. Well, the music industry is worldly. It's very controlled. You know, you're talking about like contracts that these people have to go by. I mean, the artists themselves don't even really make any of the money, or it takes a while for them to even profit off of anything, because most of it goes to the industry, which in turn goes to the beast. And but these artists themselves, you know, I believe there's a lot of ignorance at the same time. Like, some of them don't understand what they're doing. But Dad and I were talking about it and we were really thinking and pondering on this because we do believe there are some sincere-hearted brothers and sisters that have been caught up in that at the same time. But there's also, it's what the Lord was showing me about it was, you know, the Lord could even use, just like he uses, you know, churches, you know, like David talks about stepping out of the, how does that go? Like over the bars of religion, you know, growing up, you know, like the Lord could use something like that to bring somebody into the kingdom or to bless somebody for a season. But then there's the aspect about, well, we're also, you know, coming into a time where we can't afford to have any leaven in our walks whatsoever. You know, he is totally shaking all that can be shaken. And the whole industry is going to be shaken. The people that are involved in that are going to be shaken. They're going to find out that, you know, they've been living by a merchandising system and that they need faith. And so I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not making any judgment calls on these artists, but I am, the Lord's been teaching me to judge the spirits of these artists, just to, you know, just judge the spirit and ask the Lord for yourself, you know, is this really coming from you? Is this from you? And even if it is, like Carrie Job had that song the Lord gave her, well, the Lord told me, you know, yeah, that did come from me, but, you know, the word talks about give not that which is holy unto the dogs. And what happened here was she got a song from the Lord and he gave it unto the dogs, you know, the industry. The Lord told me, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. And so the Lord was saying, okay, if this is causing you to sin, you know, like in your conscience, if your conscience is, you know, my conscience at this time, the Lord is really renewing. It was just like, wow, Lord, you know, this merchandising with music is not your way at all. And like I said, you know, the Lord has a lot of mercy and he can use things like this, you know, for those that are at a level, you know, where, you know, like that's, you know, like they couldn't handle deeper truths or they couldn't handle more than what the Lord's putting across their path. But for the saint, for the one that is really coming, you know, really wanting to draw near to the Lord, really wanting to sanctify themselves from every evil work by his grace, this is just another, you know, the Lord was showing me, like, this is a weak and beggarly rudiment of the world that a lot of these artists are living on, that are going by, and there's not a lot, you don't see anything about dying to self in this music. There's not anything about that. And these artists that are producing their music in the industry, so it's a star glory thing. The Lord's been showing me, you know, like, you know, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. You know, I will not be, you know, about not being brought under the power of any, you know, even that, even this. So the Lord was showing me this aspect about separating myself for conscience sake, and, you know, and it's also the same for, like, you know, there's been miracles and mighty works that have been done. You know, there have been people that have started out right, that, you know, even pastors and all that, or I should say people that have shared testimonies that have started out right, but pride has taken them, you know. So it's like what I'm trying to tell everybody is, you know, really seek the Lord about godly music, about what really comes from his throne, you know, what really is coming from him. I put it all down. There's actually a band, there's a Mercy Me, the band Mercy Me, that has some very famous songs. There's actually three songs that are at least recorded that have, the whole song has a backwards satanic message in it, so it's a total subliminal messaging in the song. I mean, and it's really, I mean, I remember watching it when I was doing some research, watching this video that had the backwards message, and I was very, very grieved in spirit. And I just couldn't believe it. I mean, I was really shocked. And so, like, there was a song, Beautiful, that they wrote, and I think it was in 2012 or 2011. And then there was a couple of other songs that are very, very, very popular and very famous. There's that song called I Can Only Imagine, and that has a very disturbing satanic message through the, just all the way backwards through the song. There's also the song Word of God Speak that has a very satanic message all the way backwards through the song, and that's not a coincidence. Like, you don't have a satanic message all the way through the song backwards, you know. Like, sometimes people might find little bits and pieces in songs, but I mean, for the whole entire song, there's really a demonic spirit behind that. And see, those songs, those particular songs, I started losing a desire in my heart to listen to, and I couldn't understand why. The Lord showed it to me, you know, there's a perversion and corruption there. And, you know, these people are tied by legal bonds from the system of man. You know, like, the man, they don't even really have a full control over their music. The music doesn't even belong to them anymore. It belongs to whoever they signed with. Belongs to the people that they, you know, that they give out. It doesn't even belong to them anymore. They basically sell themselves over. And I mean, and the managers have control of what, you know, like, they can't produce everything that they want. You know, the managers tell them, well, you can't have that in the song, you can't have that. You know, like, they're basically slaves. And so what the Lord's showing me about music is, you know, But actually, that's right. There is a part of Mercy Me's song that said, in the backwards message, it said, Lucifer, come work through my rock waves. And it was talking about working through the vibrations of the music. So I cut ties with all that, and I started to experience the Lord's presence and just more clarity through that. And so, you know, this is kind of, you know, just really seek the Lord for yourselves. But a majority of these artists, I might just send Tim or Michael, you know, like a link to what the Lord had me look at, you know, some of this stuff. Maybe if they feel a desire to just send it out to everybody, that'd be great. But the thing is, you know, what is really worshiping the Lord? You know, what is really worshiping the Lord from the heart? You know, is it, you know, a lot of these people are put in bonds, and they're in this position where it's a job to them. They feel like they have to, you know, to survive. But, you know, what really comes through that? You know, I mean, it's like real music that worships the Lord, music that glorifies the Lord, that comes from the heart, produces faith, that produces fruit, that produces... there's a presence of the Lord, there's a refreshment, there's actual healing that's taking place that can come through the music, just like David played before Saul, and he was, you know, and he was he had peace after that, you know, he received serenity from that. It's the same thing with the music that the Lord gives. I didn't feel peace after a certain point of listening to all this stuff, and I lost my peace until I really separated myself from that. And so, you know, a lot of this stuff that comes through the songs, it might sound very godly. It's just, what's the person's motive? What's the motive of the artist's heart? You know, and like I said, I believe there are some sincere ones there, but, you know, there could be some very sincere people in the industry. But at the same time, the Lord was showing me this aspect about, well, you know, whether there's a sincerity there or not, I need to separate myself from that work. I need to separate myself from that system, you know, and not be caught in, you know, like, not be caught in, you know, like what the bondages that are in that system, you know, because even though there's some that have sincere hearts before the Lord and there's a star glory, and it's not like they're not going to come into the kingdom, yet... I mean, a lot of them, though, I believe there's a lot of them that have been, you know, there's either been reprobated or just completely, you know, just they're turning from the Lord, you know, or their hearts are really turned from the Lord. They're not really honoring and praising the Lord. But even though there's those people that are in there that might have sincere hearts, there's an absence of power, in a lot of ways in their walks. You don't really hear about any huge, you know, the Lord's, you don't really hear about the Lord's power, about the Lord doing miraculous things and his power. And it's not just about the miraculous thing, it's just about the power of the cross. You know, the Lord showed me that it's not just, you know, like denying the power. You know, the Lord is not just denying, like, that he can't do miraculous things, or he's a healer and he can do this and that, you know, and signs and wonders. It's also, it's about the power of the cross, about the miraculous power of God to deliver you, or the power that God has delivered you through his Son that died on the cross, and about taking your own cross up to conform to his same image. And that's an absence, a complete absence that's in the music industry. You don't see that. You don't hear about it. And if it was ever, if an artist ever decided to put that in there, or try to put it in a song or whatever, then it would be quickly taken out, because industry itself is ran by, it's ran by, you know, dogs in a lot of cases. You know, that wouldn't sell. You know, it's whatever sells, you know, like that's what they go for. You know. So anyway, there's an absence of the power of the cross and an absence of the crucified life in the industry. And so anyway, like I said, there's a lot of sincerity, but I, you know, people are, you know, there are people that have sincere hearts to the Lord that are in there, and I have seen it. I've seen that humility on people to degrees. But still, like, the Lord's calling us to an even greater sanctification at this time, I believe. And the time we're coming into, what is used to not be a stumbling block, what the Lord used to allow, you know, what he would sovereign, you know, what he would mercifully look upon, you know, like he would have mercy on us for in ignorance. The Lord is really pruning us as a body and as one, and that what used to be tolerated is not going to be tolerated anymore. And that the industry itself and those that are entwined in it are going to be brought to a great brokenness. Either there's going to be that falling away in them, or they're going to really repent to the Lord for a lot of the selfish ambitions and a lot of just the self-works that are involved there. So, and one thing is, too, is when you're selling a song, people are hindered from receiving the message, because, you know, you could have a song that is free, you know, like you could give a free song out, you know, you could put on the internet a free song or give a free song out, or, you know, people are more inclined to, oh, I'm just kind of curious what that sounds like, than to, oh, well, I have to pay, you know, so many dollars to get this CD or hear that song. Well, maybe I could, you know, people are most likely to kind of pass that up at times, you know, like, but if it's a free song, then, like, oh, it's free. Okay, I'm going to listen. I want to see what this is about. So anyway, there's more than one aspect the Lord's shown me about it. That's just like a hair of some of the things the Lord's shown me. But I feel like I'm just going to kind of end it up there, just to give people more time to share and everything. So that's my conviction on it. Seek the Lord, you know, with all of your heart. Really, what's important is that you seek the Lord and bear your own cross before Him. And really just, you know, obey your conscience before the Lord, and just, so, and there's no law that the Lord puts on anybody about it. The Lord showed me personally in spirit about all this stuff, so definitely not putting a law on anybody, but I can definitely say we're coming into a time where, you know, that, you know, where we need to be completely sanctified under the Lord. So that's all I got.
Boy, that was interesting, Aaron. I did want to ask you a question, though. What is the Passion Conference? First time I've heard that term.
What's that, Michael?
What is the Passion Conference? I've never heard that term before.
Well, what it is, and actually I looked at a video briefly. I mean, I really didn't want to, but can only bear so much of it. What it is it's a, what they're trying to do is they're trying to conform people. They're trying to reprogram people to the one world religion. It's just a huge, huge movement that they're trying to use as a foundational. It's like it's really a foundational piece to a lot of what the one world religion is going to become, because they have, I mean, they have, like, what they're trying to do is they're trying to establish a common ground between those that have this faith and those that have that faith. You know, so you could have somebody that's into Hinduism and they're praying to whoever they're praying to, and then a Christian praying to who they're praying to, and there's a guy that made a comment about that in something that I read about how there were two people like that that seemed like opposite faiths, but they found a common ground, and they both said to have had a mystical encounter with God. And so they were saying what they're trying to do is they're trying to put away with discrimination, or what they call discrimination and diversity in the faith, and integrate it and mold it into one faith, you know, one world religion. And so these conferences, what they're doing is they're sedating the people with music. And, you know, a lot of this music, that's just like I shared with you about Mercy Me, that's just like a very small portion of, I mean, there's so many messages that are being, you know, subliminally implanted in people through all that people haven't even, you know, found yet. But that's what's going on. And I remember watching one of these videos, and there was an Illuminati symbol that one of the speakers came up and gave. And I was like, wow, okay, well, that's pretty obvious. And a lot of there's an artist that's part of it as well, that actually speaks about the powers that be in one of his songs. It's a Christian artist. I mean, it's just totally setting people up for the mark. It's just one of their methods. So, as far as the fine details of it, I was reading over it again last night, but I don't feel like I've retained, you know, there's a lot of retaining I haven't received. I mean, I can give you the basics, but I feel like the Lord's going to have me pursue it deeper and get a more fortified understanding of it. But that's just the basics of it. That's basically what it is. So they have speakers that are just, they get up there, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to view the scriptures. They're trying to view the scriptures, and it's a method that they use. This whole centering and contemplative prayer, it's like a method that they use at the Catholics, that came from Catholicism, that it's like a method for people to see the Lord, you know, see the Lord in the scriptures, establish a connection with the Spirit, a spiritual connection. So there's all these new age like terms in there, like spiritual connection and like spirituality sort of thing. And also, it's like getting people's eyes off of Christ and on this method. There are accounts of people that have been practicers of it, like practice this sort of thing, and they've shared how it's helped their lives, and how, you know, like it's basically just reprogramming the mind. Part of it's reprogramming the mind to be tolerant. You know, be tolerant towards situations, towards what's happening. So it's like a dumbing down, what it is. It's like, you know, to get people to be more tolerant towards the bonds that are coming from the beast. You know, like a way to twist the scripture, to get people more prepared to be able to just accept what, you know, to accept the bondage that's coming through the, you know, and accept the mark. You know, like it's totally just warping people's ideas of what the Lord really is. And so that's what that conference is. Like these conferences are, they're just this dumbing down of, you know, dumbing down and planting leaven into these people, you know, and about God and all that. And also like praising, you know, different faiths, like praising the Islamic faith and all that. That was a huge thing too. Like that's a big integration. They're trying to really integrate that through this. So, anyway, there you go, brother.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
It's your mute time. Hey, I just, since since Aaron was doing an awesome job just sharing as far as on Christian music and the deception and some of the artists and the masking of satanic things in the music and that, I called up Philip, and and he hasn't heard hardly anything what Aaron has shared, but I called him up and just asked him if he would just come on and share what the Lord has shown him in Christian music and kind of make it a Christian music night. So Philip should be on.
Oh, okay. Well, it may be. Is that you, Philip, in there?
I'm right here.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Hey, Aaron. I didn't really hear much of what you said, but that's all right. And Tim just called me, so thank you, Lord. The Lord will bring whatever He wants to bring up through this. But as far as Christian music goes with me, when I really didn't grow up, I mean, I went to church as younger and stuff, you know, but I didn't have a younger life in church and as far as my 20s. And when I came to the Lord, I was on the streets. And so, and when I came to the Lord, I didn't start going to a church. So I don't have like a lot of... I didn't listen to a lot of Christian music in my early walk or anything like that. To be honest with you, I couldn't stand Christian music. And it was very superficial and to me and just contrived. And years ago when the Lord drew me this last time in 2003, this lady played a song for me that I didn't know who it was. And I was going through a real rough time, and she said, just sit here and listen to this song. And I was in some kind of trial where I was just about to give up. And so she played this song for me, and about halfway through the song, I told her, I said, I don't like Christian music. I don't want to listen to Christian music. I had been a musician in the world, and I knew that everything was just a business, and basically, people you can't sell ministry. You know, we're not. And so, even as a baby Christian, I knew that, and even a person in the world, I knew that people that were selling Christian music and they had these concerts and everything was just. Things were put in a position where men were worshipped, and God wasn't really getting all the glory. And so I told the lady, I said, yeah, I don't want to listen to this music. You know, I don't even like Christian music. It's fake. It's not really it's not pleasing to the Lord and things like that because of the marketing behind it and people selling their music and, you know, etc. It's the same spirit and as worldly music. And so about halfway through, I mean, the Lord really broke my heart, and I got through this trial. Well, later on down the road, I found out that the song that this lady played me was by this guy Keith Green. I'd never heard of this guy, but later on I found out that this guy, Keith Green, he was similar to me in ways where he had played music in the world and then got saved and then started trying to play music for the Lord. And then he decided to tell the record company that he was not going to sell his music anymore. And so this was back in the 70s and early 80s. And so he started not charging for concerts and giving his music away for free. And and so that was a witness to me, because I would not have, nothing would have spoken to my heart, but it was really the spirit in which he wrote that music and presented it was coming from the heart of the Lord which had nothing to do with self-gain. And so I believe that that's very important. I also believe that the Lord will use anything to get our attention, and that if people are broken for Him, that, you know, He can use a song from anyone, to any Christian artist, etc., to speak to His people. So I believe it's a fine line there, and I believe that what's pleasing to the Lord in worship, what I feel like the Lord has shown me over the years, is Him hearing His word. And we know that He loves to have His word prayed back to Him, and that's something that's very pleasing to the Lord. A few years back, you know, I felt like the Lord was saying, "Hey, I want you to write songs. I want to give you songs that are verse songs, you know, that are Bible verse, you know, and that would be a way to, putting melodies to the Bible verses, and it's a way for the people to easily remember the song, and so that the word really gets in their heart, and that's what's going to change somebody, and that praise and worship of God's word back to Him is one of the, you know, that's more precious to Him than any kind of lofty, creative, human word that I could even think of to, you know, describe my appreciation to Him. So I believe that the Lord really loves songs that are from His word, and that praise Him with His word, and that are in agreement with His word. And rather than just like human descriptions of what God is, etc. I'm not trying to put anything on anybody or legalism or anything in that regard. I just feel like these are the things that the Lord's shown me, what's important to Him with music, and how to kind of protect oneself from getting caught up in the sensual aspect of music. Music is, it's one of the most powerful mediums, I believe, that we have on earth, because it's, someone can hear a song, and like an instrumental piece or an instrumental music piece, and you can have, 15 different people from different languages that don't even know each other's language, and they hear that one song, and it touches them emotionally the same way. And so it's just very powerful in that regard, and I know that's why the enemy uses it so much to put out familiar spirits on people, and to unite people in ways that are not pleasing to the Lord. And so it's very, it can be very dangerous. And making sure that our hearts are reasons that are pleasing to our flesh, reasons that would be just for, say, entertainment or amusement, where one stops thinking and they just kind of veg out, because I believe that that puts us in a state of just not thinking, and then this music takes over. And depending on who's created the music, it's just like, someone preaching a word. It's just like when we're giving and receiving, when someone's preaching and we're receiving, it's you know, we're fellowshipping one with another. You know, we're partaking one of another. You know, and so it's important that when we're listening to music, we're ingesting that. That material, the spirit that was behind it, that was created. There's all of these subtleties that are very dangerous if we're not prayed up, if we're not discerning, etc. And so those are some things that, you know, I know about the masking, the backward masking, what you said a minute ago, Tim, and, you know, things that are added into music. And you know, there was years ago when I was probably in my early 20s, there was a band that wanted me to play the lead guitar for them. They had just recently gotten a record deal with EMI Records, and I had an entertainment lawyer look at it. It was a 5-year deal and, you know, 5-album deal. 2 songs off of each record made into an MTV video, and there was tours and things like that. So it was a real record deal. And I had been with the Lord before, but at that time I wasn't walking in rebellion. But it seemed like a great opportunity in the world, and I have all these testimonies where I wasn't right with the Lord, but the Lord just... He directed me away from certain things at certain times, you know. He's directing our steps, and I just never had peace about signing this contract or joining this group. And then it came out about a month after I had auditioned for them, and they had attempted to sell me. On their group and have me, you know, sign the contract and be a part of their group, that their main backer, it was $1 million backer, had left the project, he took his money and he left it. And what happened was that that band, the remaining members in that band that were under contract, they were left with hundreds of thousands of dollars with... production costs, with studio time and stuff like that, because these record deals, when people sign a record deal, people look at people that are musicians and stuff like, well, you know, they must be really rich and this and that, and they've got all this. Well, when somebody signs a record deal, first of all, they're automatically in debt. You owe back everything that is being invested into you. And so basically the band, for the first few years, all they get is like a paycheck. And so they get a paycheck. And so this group, the Lord had protected me from doing that. And so these guys were probably, you know, in their mid-20s with several hundred thousand dollars in debt, and if I had done that, I would have been in debt. Also, one of the stipulations of the contract was is that their marketing team with EMI, when you sign into a contract like that, they have every right to market you in whatever genre they want. And so if they wanted to make you into a Satanist group, you know, that was like very satanic looking, well, you would have to adhere to that dress code and become this thing like that. If they wanted to, you know, portray you as like some type of, you know, homosexual, then you would have to, you know, dress like that and appear like that in public. And so, a lot of that... you know, a lot of groups, and this is even in Christian music today, if you want to call it Christian music, is that, you know, groups and kids, they're marketed just like a box of cereal. And, you know, you've got Fruity Pebbles, the kids like Fruity Pebbles, and you've got Shredded Wheat, the adults like Shredded Wheat, and, you know, and everything in between. And so, you know, music and different genres is basically like boxes of cereal. And the Christian music realm is really no different. And, you know, I've seen some people innocently get going in it, and you know, then after a little bit, you know, their innocence is gone, and then it's just about making the next record, you know, making money, etc. And so I just believe that music, the music that the Lord is bringing in these last days, that it's not going to look like, it's not going to be pleasing to the flesh at all. It's not even, it's not going to be pleasing to the flesh. If we're worshiping not in spirit, we're not going to enjoy it. If we're worshiping, you know, if there's any flesh there, and if we've, you know, I believe also, you know, like the Lord is refining our walks in these last days. You know, he's getting the leaven out of us more and more. We're constantly under the fire more. We're in the refiner's fire more and more. We're constantly going through these trials to bring the dross up, and it's getting hotter. Then also, our time of worship is the, you know, that is a precious time to God, and so, you know, where we've been worshiping ignorantly, if you will, in our flesh, like listening to things, hearing things that are pleasing to our flesh that we've not been able to discern correctly, I believe as the fire and the furnace gets hotter, that worship will also become more refined with our walks. That, you know, you may, you know, when the Lord says that he desires a joyful noise, okay? Well, I just believe that, you know, I've heard some people that have sung before that they couldn't hold a tune in a bucket, but because of the spirit behind what they were singing was totally from the Lord, it was so beautiful, because, you know, we're listening. You know, we're not looking with flesh. You know, we're not looking at each other with our eyes, okay? And we're not listening to each other with our ears. And, you know, we want to listen with the Spirit of God. You know, we want to look at each other with the Spirit of God. And so I just believe that as the Lord refines us more, that the Lord is refining his music more, that's not necessarily going to be something that someone could say, wow, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard, if they're listening with their flesh. And if people have been worshiping in their flesh and they've just you know, gone after things that sound good to them, that are entertaining in that sense, then they're going to really miss the music that God is really going to release here with this latter rain and everything, because everything's going to be turned upside down. We're not going to recognize ourselves, you know, and so I also believe that worship is going to be turned upside down as well, and that it's going to be something that's totally pleasing to God. There won't be any, you know, that the Holy of Holies, there's no flesh will be able to be there, and so if any flesh is there, it's going to die quickly. And so these are some things I feel like the Lord has shown me, because I've met and just, you know, people that wouldn't be called, quote, talented in the world sense, but they have the heart of God and they're worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. And that's, you know, a true worshiper. And so it's not going to look like something flashy. And so that's really all I have to say about that. I don't really listen to any Christian music per se. There's a couple of things that I might listen to, and you know, a lot of the songs, most of the songs that we have in our worship book are brought out here with us, and so when we moved out here, and they were songs that I learned in the woods with some people, and I didn't learn them like the church, I didn't learn them like the CD, I didn't learn them like the worship leader did them, so you know, I don't have a lot of comment as far as like particular groups or you know, because I just don't know a lot of Christian groups really, because I just when the Lord delivered me from worldly music, and there was a period of about 3 years where I didn't even play the guitar. I didn't play guitar or anything like that. And then he had a brother show up at my door with a guitar and said, "Hey, the Lord told me to bring you this." And so the Lord had released me to play music for him, and it wasn't going to be something that was going to be a stumbling block for myself. Because music, if it's not all for the Lord, then, you know, it's something else. And so, Tim, that's really, you know, I'm sorry I wasn't prepared for anything, but that's really all I got to say about all that. But
well, Philip, that was excellent. Very good. Could you give us some pointers as to how, and I'm sincere in this, how do we discern? And I know what you're going to say is be led by the Spirit, but is there an easy formula as far as the songs that we sing to find out what is good and what's bad?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a formula, but one thing that, you know, like even in our worship book,
is that, Michael, is you know, that, yeah. Hey, listen, is that background noise coming out of you?
Me, no.
Or is that Tim? No. Tim, you got your mute on?
Sorry.
I'm sorry. That's okay. Go ahead, Philip. I'm sorry.
That's okay. So you were asking how to, what's a good way, what's a way to help discern stuff like that?
Yeah, a good song as opposed to one that's, and I know words, but, you know, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I hear people, I hear, you know, like if it's like this, Brother Michael, if I hear a song, or if I'm singing a song, like somebody says, "Hey, this song right here," me personally, I've not, I don't really get hung up on who wrote it or anything like that. If I'm reading the lyrics, and if there's something that's like an Eros love type of thing, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that the Lord's really shown me that to watch out for in a lot of worship music is this Eros type of representation of Jesus, you know, that where it's like more of a, you know, a, you know, that sensual, sexual type relationship with Jesus type song, you know, and so just as I sing things, or if I'm looking at things, I kind of look at that. That's one thing that the Lord is like, he'll bring up, he'll pop out to me. Also, if there's any kind of like, you know, false doctrine, you know, like a oneness doctrine or a Trinity doctrine, those kind of things pop out at me. Another thing stuff like that. Another thing that pops out to me is, and you'll have this sometimes is, what was I gonna say? Oh, well, maybe the Lord don't let me say that, but those are some things that you know, because like I said, I don't like if I'm singing a song, it's sort of like I don't know where it came from in the sense and who wrote it. I'm not going and studying like all of those details. I just know that if the Lord is ministering to me through it, if there's something that I can tweak on it, I'll just change the words, you know. And I'm not hung up on certain things that, you know, that go here, go there. So yeah, yeah. Those are just things. Like another thing that I was going to say was about like, you know, you don't see in the scriptures anywhere, and Brother David has preached on this, you don't see anywhere in the scriptures where people are praying to the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, there's songs that I've read and that I've sung, you know, that are calling out to the Holy Spirit. And so I just change those lyrics, you know, I'll just change that to call out to Jesus or something like that, you know, so those are kind of things that I think about. And I guess it's the sensual type of eros thing that is really being pushed through all this kundalini type ministries, and you know, that's really kind of what's permeating through Christianity right now, wanting to make, you know, God a human and putting him on that level, and you know, that's something that I would watch out for if, you know, for anyone who is not a musician that wants to worship, that can't just, you know, play an instrument themselves or but they want to listen to something that they can sing the words to and you know, and worship God. And so those are some starting points. Is the eros type of love, those songs that are kind of mushy about Jesus, false doctrines, you know, Trinity type things, songs that are you know, asking the Holy Spirit to come, things like that are praying, you know, to me that's like praying to the Holy Spirit, so those are some things that I would suggest to people who are not musicians who want to worship and listen to certain kind of worship songs.
Yeah, I'm kind of confused on this eros kind of thing you're talking about there. Of course, I'm not a musician, as you might well know.
Well, I'm using that eros, the Greek word, and I believe if I'm using it correctly, that type of love is a love that's like a sexual love, like a love between a man and a woman, husband and wife.
Yeah. I didn't know there were songs out there, Christian songs out there like that.
Yeah, there are that, you know, like, well, they have the spirit on them. I mean, I can't even think of one right now, but there are songs like that, you know, talk about, you know, maybe a girl in her bed and, you know, and then Jesus comes to her and in her bed, and stuff like that. That's, you know, that could be borderline Song of Solomon, you know. But yeah. it's just different. It's just it's a very sensual, and I wish I had some examples of that. I'm thinking of this one. I don't even know the name of it, but when I just saw it, I was like, oh my goodness, you know. It's just like, you know, just those types of songs that are, and maybe probably, you know, that are sort of like Harlequin romancers, these kind of romance novels. You know, they have these so-called, quote, Christian romance novels. I mean, give me a break about that. But it's that thing that, you know, that puts Jesus in the place of the husband. You know, and it can be very, it's a slippery slope there, you know, and I'm not saying people are consciously thinking, you know, of Jesus in that way, But that's the spirit behind it, this sensuality and this. I mean, you know, Jesus is, he is on the throne, you know.
Absolutely.
And he's not a man down here anymore, you know. I mean, so that's what I mean, Michael, when I'm talking about this eros. I'm talking about this kind of description of in Christian songs that are. And yeah, you can think about it in your mind. You can parabolize it with the bride and the groom and et cetera. Okay, but it's going further than that, you know.
I got
because,
you.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, Tim.
This whole thing got started over that Revelation song and with Carrie Job, and I had never heard that song before other than us singing it at Praise and Worship. I've never heard it on the radio. I've never, you know, I don't watch Christian, you know, MTV videos or anything like that, but I looked up that song, and the first one that came up was Carrie Job, and I listened to, number one, I watched the video, and I listened to the song, and it just gave me, I mean, it was just the way she was singing it, and it was all about star glory, and it was lights in the crowd, you know, clapping, and, you know, and it was sensual. I just felt just like sensual spirit, and it wasn't Christ. I mean, it was all about her and star glory. So then I clicked over on, there's three guys that do the song, and they did the song to a Jesus movie, and it was awesome. It was all about the Lord, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and what I see is that when I listen to the, you know, I listen to the radio, I listen to a Christian radio, but I listen to these songs, and it doesn't, I mean, if you're listening to a song because you like the music, you know, if you're listening to the song because you like the singer's voice, if you're getting fantasy about the singer, you know, that, you know, they got this, you know, this deep sexual, you know, especially with, you know, a woman's voice or something like that, and it's stirring up a lustful spirit or something like that, or if it's stirring up a worldly spirit, you know, some of these songs are just like rock and roll. Some of them are heavy music, and they call it Jesus. I mean, they've got, you know, they've got screamo Christian music. You know, they put Christ as a tag on all this music, but if you're not praising the Lord, if you're not pressing into the Lord, if you're just, you know, if it's stirring up emotions in you, that's just flesh. And if it's just, you know, if you're not able to press into the Lord in that, if it's just, you know, it's just, if it's, I don't know, that's the way I see it. And when you listen to some of the words, it's just about the world, it's about life, it's about, you know, falling in love and, you know, stuff like that. And it's not praising the Lord. So that's sort of my comment. I know we're running out of time. So,
yeah, maybe we can carry this over to next Tuesday if the people would like that. And I don't know, Philip, maybe if you have more to add, maybe Tuesday night you might come on and Aaron also. And share a little bit more about this. Very interesting. I never knew, of course, you know, I'm not a musician by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, you're a drummer.
Well, that's 45 years ago.
Okay.
But anyway.
Well, anyway, go ahead.
I clap my hands. That's right. I tap my thumb on my leg. That's right. But anyway, I'd like to carry it on a little further if y'all have, you know, if you have some more to add, probably next Tuesday. I know we're about out of time. Well, we're already out of time. So maybe y'all can think about it, and let's talk about it then. Anybody got any prayer requests right now before we get out of here? Well, Father, I just thank you so much for the information that you're making available to us, Lord, in this end time scenario, this end time that's coming upon us, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you are slicing the flesh off of us, even in our praise and worship, Lord. You're showing us these things that we need to know in the days ahead, because we sure don't want to be our praises and our worship going up to you smelling smelly. Father, we want them to smell good to you, Lord. And we thank you for these lessons that you're teaching us, Father. I ask, Lord, that you give us all a good night's sleep tonight, and that we would have dreams and visions of you, Lord, and the things that are coming, and that we would be able to relate them, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. All right. Good night, everybody. God bless you.